Okay, so we are finishing on Revelation 22, and we have been looking at Revelation as an unveiling from the word apocalypto, the Greek, of Jesus, of us, who we are, of the unseen realm and the end, which many of which we cannot find in any other parts of Scripture, particularly the Gospel accounts, which really focus on the humanity of Jesus in a moving incredible power. But not so much on the revelation of his divinity. So the book of Revelation is one letter. It's written by the persecuted church, in this case John in exile on the island of Patmos, for the persecuted church, as are many of the letters and gospels of the New Testament, and it's really helpful to remember that. This letter would have been a circular to the seven churches addressed in chapters 2 and 3, which lie on the coast of modern-day Turkey. So much of this letter is written in the form of an apocalypse, which is a common form of Jewish political writing during the first century. The book often employs bizarre and difficult symbols, but claims to be an unveiling of who Jesus is, who we are, and how it all ends. On an initial reading, this seems virtually impossible. However, armed with the Hebrew Bible, other New Testament teachings, and John's own explanations alongside, the reader can unlock many of the symbols and discover a vision of justice and restoration that is quite simply magnificent. The comfort to the oppressed and persecuted is that all evil will be exposed and brought to justice. The unholy trinity of the evil one and corrupt and exploitative religious and political systems will be judged and found wanting. Death itself will die. And all who persistently, stubbornly pursue death's pathway and refuse the free gift of God's love will find themselves in the living hell of their own making, fundamentally disconnected from God and therefore from all the love, joy and peace that flows from him. If sin is falling short of God's design for humanity, then any and every aspect of sin will be dealt with once and for all, and a new, fully restored humanity will finally be recovered. We have already seen many references to Exodus. For those who understood that the source of their restoration was in the death of Jesus, their Passover lamb, then their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. For all those who sought God, that day of accountability will be a tremendous day of liberation, victory and vindication, reminiscent of the mighty deliverance of the enslaved Israelites from the oppression of Egypt under Moses. Awaiting this restored humanity from every tribe, tongue, people and nation is a renewed cosmos, a new heavens and a new earth, and a new, what theologians have called, garden city. And this garden city will finally be absolutely pure, cleansed from all deception, lies, falsehood and idolatry. The pearl gates of this perfect golden cube of a garden city will never be closed, because the city will be lit by God himself, and there will be no more danger or suffering or fear. We have seen how the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, provide a number of clues for unlocking the symbols in the book of Revelation. The last chapter is no exception. For those readers familiar with Genesis, chapter 2 recovers so much of the vision of Genesis 1 and 2. Adam, or humanity, began in a garden. We read how humanity restarts in a garden city. Great rivers flow through the Garden of Eden. One river from the very throne of God flows down the centre of this garden city. This river is also reminiscent of Ezekiel's vision of a temple out of which flows the river of life. Humanity was given a mandate to rule over the earth, and we can now see humanity once again reigning with God forever and ever. Humanity is designed to work with the raw materials of this earth to create beauty, industry and culture. Humanity will once again receive the greatness of the works of all the nations as kings bring their brilliance to the city. Perhaps most profoundly of all, though, is that this all will occur with passionate purity. Amongst the abundance of trees, there were two named in the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Humanity triggered the curse of death by choosing to violate the one boundary in the Garden of Eden, not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to redefine for ourselves good and evil, what we considered the right way to live. In this new garden city, there is only the tree of life, which continually bears fruit and the leaves of which provide healing for the nations. There is no more curse. Once humanity walked with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, now humanity can see God's face again and worship him wholeheartedly with the intensity of a bride for her lover again. A new Adam was laid down in his death, and a new Eve has been formed out of his side, and the two have become one again. Those who have sought God will find him. He himself is the reward, the drink for the thirsty, the life for the desperate, and his invitation is for all. Despite apparent obstacles, it seems that the book of Revelation does deliver on its promises. It does provide an unveiling of who Jesus is, and in the light of that, who we are and how it will all end. We see that John builds on images of who Jesus is, which have been hinted at throughout scriptures, and indeed reveals who he is. Jesus is a returning warrior, judge and bridegroom, glorious in his power, justice and love, eyes with blazing fire. Through him we see who we are, like him, glorious in power, justice and love too, with eyes of blazing fire. And we see how it all ends. For all those who want it, a free invitation to return to a renewed Eden, a restored paradise, and live worshipping him and alongside him, reigning and stewarding over all creation, as we are always designed to live. So how do we, the betrothed, live in the meantime, in the tension of this temporal age which is passing away and is a glass through which we only see our lover dimly and in the context of ongoing suffering, oppression and injustice? Revelation gives us many clues, but maybe the ones to end on are a recovery of the seven blessings woven into the book, of which the last two are in this chapter. These seven blessings are firstly, right at the beginning, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Secondly, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Thirdly, blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Fourthly, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Fifthly, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of this prophecy written in this scroll. And finally, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. So we are to have complete hope in a full bodily resurrection to a restored cosmos and a joyful, purposeful life on a restored earth. We are to live lives reverently in this age, in active love of God's presence, his good restorative will, amid expectation of Jesus' return to restore all things. We are to be celebrating that we are invited to be one with Jesus and part of the restoration of all things, including the destruction of death itself. And most of all, we are to take the free gift of life which God so generously offers through his Son Jesus with the utmost gratitude and praise. And I've summed that up really in three aspects of how we are to live from now on. Firstly, we are to take these inspired words of God seriously. Secondly, we are to live in the reality of the world as it actually is, not according to the changing ideologies of the spirit of the age. And thirdly, we are to live out this reality by making decisions in this age that reflect who we are becoming, that enable us to be fit citizens for this new renewed cosmos, this new heaven and earth, this garden city which is to come.